Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What if you had the opportunity to talk with God for 1 minute? I think I would ask him a lot of questions, beginning with the little word, why. Oh, Lord, tell me why. Job is Phi Beta Kappa in asking God that very important question as he battled suffering.
The truth is, suffering is inevitable, but it won't win the day. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. I'm sure you've asked the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Or why do bad things happen to me? Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young takes you to God's Word for an answer in his message, A Search for the Meaning of Suffering. Before we jump into today's message, we'd love to share a powerful resource straight from Dr. Young to help you shift your perspective. The right perspective can help you find calm in a storm and trust God in the midst of it. That's what Dr. Young wants to help you experience by sending you his booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life, because understanding the storm you're in helps you know how to weather it. We'll send you Hope in the Storms of Life as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Hope in the Storms of Life when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Today, we're starting a brand new series about the life of Job called Overcoming Tough Times. And Dr. Young is in the studio with me to answer a few questions as we begin. Dr. Young, Job's story always brings up the age-old question of why bad things happen to good people. How do you respond when people ask this question?
You know, I like to reverse it. What amazes me is how good things happen to bad people. But bad things do happen to good people, and we interpret them in the here and now. We miss the whole purpose. Every time a challenge, a painful situation comes my way, whether it's in my immediate family, whether it's in my church family, and suffering comes inexplicably.
How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory.
Up to something. And when I do that, you know, so many times I may not have all the answers as to why and why now and why me and why this one. But when I look up, I know God is doing something. So suffering, first of all, I think, Wayne, gets our full court attention. It just cries out to us. And we listen and we look up and say, God, is there something I need to deal with in my life? And then we look up and say, God, I don't know what that is, but you're up to something. Teach me, show me, lead me through this valley so that there will be meaning and eternal ramifications. And that happens so many, many times. So I say to everyone, when the bottom falls out of your life, look up, wait, listen, be still. God's up to something.
That's just about all we can do in those situations, isn't it? We're going to start the message here momentarily, but, you know, when suffering comes, it is tempting to think that maybe God has forgotten us or doesn't love us anymore, but nothing could be further from the truth. He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Oh, he loves us with a love will never let us go. Now, sometimes we have to be honest. Suffering comes because of our own sin, our own indifference, our own rebellion, our own actions, our own poor choices. So we can't make poor choices and say, well, I don't understand why this happened to me. Poor choices lead to pain and suffering many times. But I'm talking about inexplicable suffering. We don't understand it. There seems to be no rhyme and reason for it. And as we study the book of Job, I think we'll begin to get insight as to how God operates in the lives of so many individuals. And that, I believe, will give us a clear meaning of the purpose of suffering.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Young. A great way to start us off in our study of Job, especially as we look at today's subject, the purpose of suffering. Here's Dr. Young.
It was in Topeka, Kansas. A guy was going to visit churches all across America and write a book. While in Topeka, he saw on the side of a wall in this church a golden telephone. It says, "For $10,000, 1 minute call to God." He thought that was unusual. He moved from Kansas on across to California, and he saw another church, golden telephone, $10,000, 1 minute conversation with God. He went to Missouri, another church, golden telephone, 1 minute, $10,000, conversation with God. He went to New York City, another golden telephone, $10,000, dropped down to Florida, another golden telephone, $10,000, came to the deep south, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas. He got in Austin, Texas, and he went in a church in Austin, and he saw on the wall a golden telephone he'd seen in churches across the country, and on this call it says, "1 minute conversation with God, 35 cents. He couldn't understand it. He went over and got an usher. He said, "What is this? I've been in churches across the country. 1 minute conversation with God is $10,000. Here in Austin, it is 35 cents. What is going on?" He said, "Don't you know where you are? You're in Texas. This is God's country. It's a local call." What if you had the opportunity to talk with God for 1 minute? I thought about that. I think I would ask him a lot of questions, beginning with the little word, why? Why me? Why her? Why him? Why now? Why? Oh, Lord, tell me why. We're beginning to study the book of Job. Job is Phi Beta Kappa in asking God that very important question as he battled suffering. He said, why? Now, I want you to notice that I planned this study of Job, 42 chapters, 5 weeks, 8 months ago. Somebody said, "Oh, your preaching sure is timely. It's God's timing, not mine." But we're dealing with suffering. It's not suffering that happens to bad people. It's suffering that happens to good people. When bad people do not suffer, that bugs me. But when good people suffer, that really upsets me, and it upsets you as well. And that's what we're dealing with. Job, one of the heroic figures in the Bible. By the way, there are not many heroes today. Have you noticed? There are not many heroines today. Every time we think, "Boy, we found somebody we can look up to, we can admire, they've got it together, they have integrity," it seems like we discover in just a little while they're clay feet and how they're not all that we thought they were. This is true of biblical personalities. Read about all the characters in the Bible. I mean, we see everything about them, and there are few that come out heroic. Ruth, Esther, Joseph, Daniel, and certainly the guy we're going to be studying for the next few weeks, Job. It's a fabulous book in the Bible. By the way, in all probability, it's the oldest book in the Bible. You can take the book of Job and take it out of the Bible, and you could put it alongside any great works of literature that have ever been penned, and Job would hold its own. It's a lyrical epic poem, along with Homer's Iliad and Odyssey. It's written in a compelling way. It's almost like you're going to see an opera. I've been to a German opera, an Italian opera. And, you know, I didn't understand what was going on, but they had notes in English explaining the movement of the music and the drama that I was seeing. And this is what we have in the book of Job. The first part of Job is prose. The middle part is that powerful poem, and the end is prose. So we begin to understand it. By the way, Job was a real person. Lord Byron said that truth is strange, but truth is always stranger than fiction. And that is literally true. And so we meet this guy, Job, a fabulous guy. He lived in the period of the patriarchs, in all probability a contemporary of Abraham. We'll read he is from Uz. We don't know where the land of Oz, the land of Uz, we don't know where it is. We know perhaps it's in Arabia. We know that Job evidently knew something about Egypt because there's a reference to the pyramids there in the book of Job. So as we approach Job for the next 5 weeks, we're going to learn a great deal about suffering because Job, I think, is the greatest word on suffering. By the way, we'll not answer all the whys of suffering. Suffering has a mystery about it that we'll never understand until we get to heaven. And when we get to heaven, when God says, this is what was going on, we'll all stand back and say, oh, I see it now. But when a baby suffers, when cancer befalls someone that's very young, when a birth defect takes somebody out and somebody is living with so many different situations of suffering and privation in our world, and we just sit back and say, why? Job points us to some very profound answers. So let me begin by reading just the first few verses of Job to introduce you to this guy. And then I will not read all 22 verses. We're going to look at chapter 1. I'm going to read the first few verses, and then I'm going to give you Young's translation of the latter part as we go about in our biblical teaching. Job, chapter number 1, verse number 1 following. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen. How many oxen would that be? 5,000 yoke. How many oxen? 1,000. That's right. 15 female donkeys. By the way, did you know that female donkeys were a prized possession this period of time because their milk, what was like caviar, it was the foremost delicacy of the age. Milk from female donkeys. How many of you knew that? Yeah. See, you're already ahead. 500 female donkeys and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. This is Job, the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would sin and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of feasting have completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God. Remember that phrase. Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. The book opens, and there was a man. What kind of guy was Job? First of all, we see that he was a godly man. Did you read that? Upright, feared God, blameless. Not that he was perfect, but when he would do something wrong, he would confess to God and keep a clean conscience. He feared God. He was a worshiper. A lot of people have the idea that I can pray and sing and preach and I can study God's word, and man, I am a worshiper. We can't worship him when we have dirt inside of our lives. when there's filth there, when there's unconfessed with, unrepented of sin and rebellion in our lives, you can't worship. You can go through all the motions and all the ritual, but you can't worship him. But it says Job feared God. This means he worshiped him. Oswald Chambers said that if anybody fears God, they'll not be afraid of anything else. But anybody who does not fear God, they will be fearful of everything else. Someone who fears God, not that, oh, I'm afraid of God. Oh, he might. Oh, no. Someone who, the word fear means awe, to hold in wonder, to esteem, to lift up. Job was a godly man. Godly man. That's the first thing we see in the verses I've just read. Also, Job was a wealthy man. And did you read what he had? In that day in which he lived, wealth was measured by your flock, your animals, by the number of children you had. It was measured by the number of servants that you had. And certainly, Job was the biggest big shot of all the East. He was a combination of Billy Graham and Bill Gates. I mean, he had every base covered. Look at all the sheep, all the oxen. Look at all the donkeys. Look at all the camels. By the way, the camel was the most valuable animal of all that he possessed. He was a wealthy man by anybody's standard. He was a godly man. Also, he was a great dad. You know, the greatest thing we need in morals in the 21st century are dads who are great dads. That's what we need. Job had that base covered. Here he had grown children. Did you read it carefully? Job had grown children. And by the way, that's a wonderful moment of your life. The empty nest, whoo, is great. I love kids. I love grandkids. I love my son, my 10 grandchildren. But I'm going to tell you, the empty nest is way ahead of that other period when the diaper phase and the carpool phase and all the other boo-hoo. I'm telling you, the empty nest is fabulous. Mr. and Ms. Job now had an empty nest. Their seven sons were grown. Their three daughters were grown. But Job still was the priest of the family. Did you notice that? They would have birthday celebrations and all the kids would gather together. Job would go there and lay hands on them and pray for them and offer burnt sacrifices to God, just in case, remember that phrase, one of the kids may have cursed God, even in their hearts. Maybe not literally, but just in case a kid had cursed and spoken out and displeased God, Job would offer sacrifices, remind them that they were his children, they were sons and daughters, remind them of the blessings that they had in the inheritance business, and he went there every time. It says he did it early in the morning, continuously. Boy, what a guy was Job. You know anybody better than Job? He is a great hero in the Bible. The greatest man in the East. Godly man. Wealthy man. Great dad. And now, if this were a drama or we're reading a book, we would go to the second chapter, and the curtain would be closed. And then we'd shuffle around, and we'd talk and yawn, and or we'd turn the next page. And then chapter number two, certainly the curtain is contracted. Whew! We're in the third heaven. We're in the throne room of God. And there is God, God Almighty, on the throne. And there all, Job says, the sons of God are gathered, the seraphim, the cherubim, the archangels, the angels. They're all gathered around the throne of God. And they're reporting. It was a time of celebration. If you ask me, the one place I'd rather be than any other place throughout all eternity or time, it would be right in that number. It'd be right in that number. Man, what praising, what singing, what glory. There's nothing, no other scene in all the Bible like this except in the book of Revelation. You just don't find it. Here we are, The curtains are contracted and you're in the throne room of God himself. And then we see the first part of the book of Job. You can have a big outline of the book of Job. The first part of the book of Job, it's God and Satan talking. The second part, it's going to be Job and his three friends are conversing. And the third part is going to just be Job and God in the great showdown. That's the general outline of the book of Job. But when this curtain pulls, we see there that God is with all the heavenly hosts. And he looks back over there and he says, wait a minute. Who is that? It is Satan. That's right. What is Satan doing in the throne room of the Almighty? There is Satan, the fallen archangel, still beautiful, still magnificent, still powerful. And there is Satan. And Job says to him, young paraphrase, what have you been up to? What have you been up to? Satan, the accuser, the liar, slewfoot, the murderer. What have you been up to? And here we see in this particular situation, we see satanic activity. We see satanic philosophy. And we see satanic limitation. Now look at satanic activity. God says, what have you been up to, Satan? And Satan says, I've been going to and fro. I've been wandering around all over the world. And Satan can do that with supernatural power. Satan can go from Australia to the North Pole just in a blink of your eye. He said, I've been wandering around all the world. Now, God knew his agenda. Satan's agenda is to destroy. It's to thwart the plans of Almighty God and to destroy his sons and his daughters. That's his plan. That's his agenda. And he is faithful and he's continuously at that particular assignment in rebellion against Almighty. What have you been up to, Satan? I've been going to and fro, confusing, lying, deceiving, killing, taking out those who would be followers of yours or those who are followers of yours. And then God says to Satan, an amazing thing to me. He says, Satan, do you know my main man, Job? You know, I'd just as soon God wouldn't bring my name into this. I don't know about you. Have you considered my main man Job? And then God affirms what we've already read. He is blameless. He fears me. He's the greatest man in the East. In other words, he says, Satan, Job loves me. Have you seen Job and you're trolling around? And Satan says, oh, yeah. Yeah, I've tried to get it, Job. But God, you've put a hedge around him, and that hedge is so thick, I can't get to him.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we'd love to help you pursue an even deeper trust in God by sending you Dr. Young's booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life. This encouraging resource will equip and encourage you to turn your trials into triumphs by trusting in God and resting in Him through life's storms. And we're excited to send you a copy as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Hope in the Storms of Life. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us tomorrow to hear the rest of Dr. Young's message and more proven truth about finding God's presence and purpose in the midst of pain.